a wrongful death lawsuit against the Haynesboro nears trial. And candidates file for the local Haynes election, but not many. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The filing period for local elections in the Haynes Borough closed Friday at 5 p.m., with only two candidates up for two open assembly seats. Assemblymen Steve Vick and Norm Smith have chosen not to run again for their open seats, so that means only two names will appear on the ballot, George Campbell and Rob Miller. There is still the opportunity for write-in candidates to run for election. According to Borough Code, a qualified candidate can file a letter of intent to run as a write-in candidate. They must file that letter no later than 5 days before the election. This was the first local election under new financial disclosure regulations. Voters in the last election decided to allow local public officials be exempt from state requirements, and the argument of many supporters in that was that it would entice more people to volunteer and run for office. The borough now has its own financial reporting requirements for candidates and public officials. Campbell, for one, as a local business owner, said he found the process and the rules unrestrictive and easy as a candidate to file. The 46-year-old is a longtime resident and lives about 18 miles up the Haynes Highway. He farms and operates a bed and breakfast and wears several other hats. Miller, age 60, is a retired structural engineer. He's lived in Haynes for about 5 years, although he's been a longtime property owner here. He currently serves on the Borough Planning Commission. He'll resign from that seat if elected to the assembly. There will be a little bit of a race in the election for school board seats. With three empty seats, four people have filed to run, including two incumbents. Sarah Swinton and Artie Miller are running to keep their seats. Recent high school graduate Royal Henderson's seat is also open. He ran last year for only a one-year term because he was planning on leaving this year for college. Scott Dottridge and Lisa Schwartz are the new candidates rounding out the slate for school board. Because of recent changes by the Assembly of the voting process, candidates in this election will not run for specific seats, but will be seated based on how many votes they get. In the case of the four candidates for school board, the three candidates with the most votes will be seated. However, rules also say candidates must get at least 40% of the vote to be seated. The election is October 1st. The filing period for Skagway elections runs later than Haynes's filing period. It began Monday and will run through the end of business day on Monday, August 12th. This year, the mayor's seat, two assembly seats, and one school board seat are open. The Haynes Borough and the family of a teenager that drowned at Port Chilcoot 3 years ago are less than 2 months away from a trial that could decide whether the borough was liable in the teen's death. Larry and Chetra Williamson are suing the borough on behalf of their son, Andrew, who drowned while swimming with other people at Port Chilcoot. Friends and witnesses say it was a sunny day with several people at the beach when Andrew was attempting to swim to the lightering dock. While swimming, Andrew slipped under the water and did not resurface. Several people on the beach and emergency personnel attempted to rescue the teen. His body was recovered about an hour later. The Williamson's attorney is claiming the borough was negligent by not making clear that swimming was either not allowed at the beach or that there were dangers for those that decided to swim there. The borough's attorney maintained it had no duty to provide warning or life-saving equipment at the beach since it's not an established borough swimming beach. While both sides initially said they would try to settle the case before reaching trial, that has not yet happened. Last month, the borough's legal team filed for summary judgment in the case. A request for summary judgment means that one side believes the outcome of the case is so obvious that the judge should be able to rule on it before it goes to trial. Sometimes it's a tactic that can help in reaching a settlement. In this case, the borough's attorneys are arguing the borough has no duty to safeguard swimming in the coastal waters that the borough does not regulate. That would mean the state and local governments would be obligated to post warnings and lifeguards all along Alaska's coastline to warn potential swimmers. They also argue that Port Chilcoot is essentially unimproved borough property, which means under Alaska law, the landowner is not responsible for risk management of the land. The plaintiffs, or Williamsons, disagree. Attorneys for the family argue the borough does have a responsibility to protect and warn swimmers at the beach because it was aware that locals used the beach regularly. They also argue the property is not unimproved. Port Chilcoot has a cruise ship dock, a lightering float, and other improvements, and it's patrolled by the borough harbor staff. Therefore, the borough is liable for what happens on the property, they write. They ask the judge to allow a jury to decide the case. Judge Philip Pullenberg has decided to hear oral arguments for and against the request for summary judgment. That proceeding is scheduled for August 15th in Juneau. Pullenberg could rule on the request for summary judgment at that time or listen to arguments and issue his ruling later. If he decides to let the attorneys take the case to trial, that is scheduled to begin September 24th in Juneau. The National Park Service and Aramark are negotiating a 2-year extension for a concession contract at Glacier Bay Lodge. Aramark and Huna Totem Corporation, in a joint venture, hold the current 10-year concession contract, which expires at the end of this year. Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve put out a prospectus for a new concession contract in January, but received no bids. Now, Glacier Bay National Park Superintendent Susan Boudreau says the park and Aramark are looking for an agreement that provides a business opportunity for the company and protects taxpayers' interest.
I'm very hopeful that a resolution will soon be forthcoming. Absolutely. The conversations remain fruitful and constructive.
Boudreau says contract talks have only been with Aramark. Huna Totem CEO Larry Gaffney says the corporation will remain a joint venture partner if a 2-year contract is negotiated, but says Aramark is taking the lead on discussions with the national park. Glacier Bay Lodge contains 56 rooms, which accounts for about half the rooms available in all of Gustavus, a town of 450 residents. During an Energy and Natural Resources Committee hearing Thursday, Senator Lisa Murkowski pushed National Parks Director John Jarvis for a resolution.
The people of Gustavus are notably anxious and stressed. If the concession doesn't move forward, you really do have a situation where the town's economy is threatened.
Boudreau says a 2-year contract extension will make it possible for the lodge to stay open for 2014 and 15 and allow the park to conduct a feasibility study on putting out a new 10-year prospectus. The weather couldn't have been much nicer for the Southeast Alaska State Fair over the weekend. The 4-day event was full of crowds, sun, food, music, games, family, friends, and all the sunburns, indigestion, and slightly bad decisions that go with a frolicking good time. And don't forget, it is the fair for all of Southeast. That means there were exhibits from across the region. Blown glass, artwork, and hand knits from Skagway, acrylic paintings from Gustavus, beading from Wrangell, native arts from Juneau. And visitors come from all over, too. In case you missed it, or you just want to recap, here's a few sounds from the fair over the weekend, starting with someone who's been to every single fair in Haines, Doris Ward.
How many fairs have you been to?
I said so, probably from the first one, when it was in the Legion Hall.
What's your favorite part about the fair?
Seeing people. People I haven't seen in a long time. Kids come back for a reunion. That's the best part.
What are you selling lots of?
A spanked monkey. It's banana, chocolate, espresso, all blended up with whipped cream on top. This is made just for the fair.
Yeah, we've had some great turnouts this year for all of the logging show events, which is nice to see.
I'm 25 cases at 48 a case, usually during the fair. Most of the time after that, we usually buy whatever is left in town and cook whatever's left in town until town's out of corn.
You're not going to find any corn in town right now.
Yeah, we'll really pretty much buy it all and serve it to all the customers here at the fair.
Why do people like grilled corn at a fair?
It's just a fair food. You know, and
it's
barbecue,
quick. And
they can walk around with it with one hand and eat it as they have their other hand free to do other things, I guess.
Look
a marmalade.
Marmalade is big.
His owner said, or her owner, I think, said marmalade just eats normal rabbit food. But she must eat a lot of normal rabbit food.
The best puppet show you'll see today, if you come to the Horse Corral at 3 o'clock for the second to the last Geppetto's Barnyard Puppet Show.
My favorite part of the fair was the kids' carnival. I did the bottle knock and the fishing and the ring toss and the potty toss.
KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.